If you had to guess what scripture passage was identified by a group of people throughout the United States, what passage was their favorite? What would you guess? You see, Amazon kept record of the highlighted passages of those who read their Bible on one of their apps. And a passage we might think would be there would be something like John 3:16, maybe the 23rd Psalm. No, instead, the favorite passage by all of those throughout the United States who read their Bible on the Amazon app, their favorite passage was our text today. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In these two passages, Paul gives us the teaching, the understanding of how you and I can receive God's peace today. The following two passages, 8 through 9, Paul then tells us how we can keep God's peace in our heart once we have it. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7 today, how we can find and have the peace of God. And then next week, we're going to follow up with verses 8 and 9, how we can keep God's peace once we have it. But last week we noted the unrest and the fear that the coronavirus has brought to our lives. Not only today then do we have all of our regular worries, our family, finances, child rearing, our career, our jobs, opportunities that come our way, all of the decisions that we have to make through the day, and all of the things that we carry on our shoulders, now we're faced with this invisible killer that makes us have to trace back where we were 2 weeks ago and with everyone we came in contact with, because this silent killer could invade our home. A lot of fear, a lot of unrest. And so more than ever, people are turning to their faith to try to find a stable foundation in these rocky times. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 shows us the way to that stable foundation. It is called God's peace. Therefore, this morning, from this passage, before we dismiss this service, we will discover how it is that we can find, that you can find, the peace of God for your life. Again, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then he writes that the peace of God will come into our lives. And so Paul addresses a prerequisite that must be met before we can receive the peace of God. Now understand, the peace of God is something that God wants to give you. The peace of God is something that Jesus says, "I leave with you. I give to you. My peace I give." And so the Lord is anxious for us to receive it. But there is a prerequisite that first must be met. And it's in the first phrase of verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Literally, Paul writes, you and I have to decide before we ever get to the point of asking God to give us His peace, we have to first decide that we are tired of worry burdening us down. We are tired of living in this faithless, fear-laden path today, and we're going to determine that worry, anxiety, is no longer going to rule our hearts. It's a decision of the will that you and I have to make. God says, before you even come to me to request my peace, you have to make that decision in your heart that you're going to be anxious for nothing. That you're going to stop allowing worry to consume you. Now, I will confess, I'm with you in this boat. And it is my hope, as I have studied this passage, that I will continue in this trek of trying to bring my worry and faithless heart before the Lord in times of stress and trouble. Stop allowing worry to consume you, he said, is the prerequisite to coming before me. And then secondly, he addresses the prayer itself. And there's nothing odd or complicated about the terms that Paul uses here. The purpose is not for us to gain a deep theological understanding. The purpose is for Paul to lay out directions and a track where to follow to find the peace that God wants to give us. First thing, we've got to make that decision that worry is no longer going to control us, that instead we're going to start responding in times of fear and crisis in faith rather than faithlessness, and we're going to bring all of these troubles before the Lord. Paul uses these terms. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by first prayer. This is a generic word for prayer. It's the idea is that any prayer and all prayer fit into this category. Paul says, look, you want to find the peace of God, then make that decision that worry is not going to dominate your life anymore, and then bring these worries before God in any way you can and in any way you want. Cry out to Him in any prayer, in any offering, in any type of prayer. He goes on. He says, with supplication, by prayer and supplication. When you think of the word supplication, think of the word supplies, because supplication is identifying what I need. It is telling God specifically these issues that I'm worried about, that I'm concerned about, that's causing this kind of fear. It is to bring these supplications, these things I need before the Lord. And then he says to do it with thanksgiving, or literally in the spirit of thanksgiving. And I assure you, this is an important issue before God. And the problem with putting with thanksgiving in this passage is that, frankly, we're not very good at it. Because the giving of thanks from one's heart demands that we deal with the flesh, that we have to deal with our pride, that we have to struggle with bowing and admitting that unless God had done that, unless God had given this to me, I would not have it, or it would not have been done. It is taking the spotlight off of you and putting it back on God. Thanksgiving literally is the giving of grace. It is the saying thank you to God. And again, God is very serious about this issue of thanksgiving. And so we are to present our requests before the Lord by prayer, any prayer, all prayer, supplication, telling Him what I need, what's on my heart, the trouble in my soul, with prayer, supplication, and in the spirit of thanksgiving. Paul says, then let these needs, these requests, be made known unto God. And then he says, here's what will happen. When we come before the Lord and we determine that fear and worry and anxiety are no longer going to control our lives, and we choose instead to submit unto the Lord to deal with issues in our lives with faith instead of unfaithfulness, and we come before the Lord bringing Him all our concerns, all of our needs, in the spirit of thankfulness, we make these requests known to God. And then he says something wonderful, something supernatural, something powerful is going to happen in our lives. And that is that the peace of God is going to invade us. Isn't that incredible? The peace of God is going to control our hearts and our minds. Literally, Paul says, two things are going to happen. This promise Paul makes that the peace of God, and at number one, surpasses all understanding, and at number two, will guard our hearts and minds. Now remember, we're sitting there in fear and worry, overwhelmed by all of the regular issues in life, and now with this virus spreading around and people are dying, and you're concerned about your life, your children, your parents, your family. And in this overwhelmed state, you're reminded of your faith. And in a holy stand, you declare before God and angels of heaven and the demons of hell that you are going to determine, you're going to take a stand, that fear, worry, and anxiety will no longer control you. And that you will then respond and receive this threat, this trial under God, and you will come before the Lord and bring all of these fears unto Him. And then emanating from within, the Spirit of God will speak His peace into our soul. And Paul says, first of all, that the peace of God is going to overwhelm me. Now, it may not be like overwhelmed in some ecstatic event, but it will overwhelm the worries and the fears and the anxieties that were eating you alive. The peace of God surpasses, it comes top of understanding. In other words, you were here just a few minutes ago in abject fear. And all of a sudden now you're sitting in the peace of God, your soul at rest, and you're thinking, this makes no sense. And that's why Paul says the peace of God surpasses understanding. It overwhelms the sorrows and the griefs and the fears to bring you stability and grace and strength. And secondly, Paul tells us that the peace of God will guard us. Because realize, when Satan has had his thumb on us with anxiety and fears, and God overwhelms that with his peace, the enemy's not going to let us off easily. So he's going to keep coming back, throwing his barbs and setting his traps and trying to break that peace within us, trying to get back into our thoughts and bring those same worries and anxieties. And yet, Paul says that the peace of God will stand as a soldier, a warrior, a sentry in front of our hearts and over our minds to protect us from an onslaught of the enemy. Neil Anderson is a prolific writer and biblical theologian. And he wrote in one column these words. He said, fear is a thief. It erodes our faith. It plunders our hope. It steals our freedom and takes away our joy of living the abundant life in Christ. Phobias, fears, are like the coils of a snake. The more we give into them, the tighter they squeeze. And tired of fighting, we succumb to the temptation and surrender to our fears. But what seemed like an easy way out becomes in reality a prison of unbelief, a fortress of fear that holds us captive. I read a story some time back, and it may be that I have shared this with you at in another service. I'm not sure, but it's a wonderful story of a man who lived out on a farm, and one day before dusk heard his dogs barking and yelping and carrying on. And so he walks outside and tries to observe what is happening. And he sees a young deer, just a fawn, running across his field with his dogs on its heels. And the little deer runs through his pasture and then runs up to the house and incredibly runs right up to the man and takes his head and pokes it between the man's legs and just stays there shivering. The dogs, of course, ran up and were all around it. And so the man said that he picked up the deer by the hind legs and he just fought the dogs off until they left and he could care for the baby deer. And he said these words that caught my attention. He said, inside me, as I was swinging that deer around, fighting off those dogs, inside me I knew that all of the dogs in the world could not and would not get this little fawn after its weakness had appealed to my strength. Realize, God's not looking for heroes. He's not looking for the best looking or the most talented. Not at all. God is looking for those of us who will allow our weakness to appeal to His strength. And not all the fears in the world could attack us when our weakness has appealed to the strength of our Father. It may be that you need God's peace this morning, that it's been a tough few weeks. Maybe it's been longer than that. But there is something in your heart that you sense it is God drawing you and calling you. You know it's the Holy Spirit of God reminding you that there's a better way than to suffer in fear. Do that this morning. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, I do ask that with every heart that is surrendered right now, every cry that comes before You, Father, right now, bestow Your peace. Bestow grace and peace to those in need. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.